A different future starts with you. That's why GoDaddy does more than help you find a name. You can create, sell, and get found online so any small business can drive change or build an empire. Because old ideas aren't cutting it anymore. This new year, we need a new generation of thinking, your way of thinking. So whatever you have in mind that will help make a different future, find everything you need to get started at GoDaddy.com. Because the future isn't decided yet. It's still ours to win. Start different at GoDaddy.com.
Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of That Movie Show. Mike Wendt and Eddie McCabe taking you through another week of movie talk. You can follow us on social media at Mike Wendt, at The Eddie McCabe, hashtag That Movie Show. Of course, the website is thatmovieshow.net, where you can find the archives of this show, along with Eddie's ongoing Disney Princess review series. Eddie, how you doing? And tell us about this week's show.
Doing great. It's a great day for movies. I'm really excited about this. The Disney Princess film series has been rolling along, and this week's episode is Pocahontas. Ooh. And oh boy, is it not great. That movie.
No, what do you mean by that? Is it not good or is it not good in 2020?
It's both. Okay. It's absolutely both. Like, everybody that has a problem with like the Disney princess like archetype, this is what they're talking about. They're talking about like Pocahontas, because her entire motivation is that she falls in love with this guy and is in love with this random. She's like, I just want to like fall in love with somebody that I'm in love with, and it just so happens to be this English settler. And then
isn't that English settler played by Mel Gibson?
Yep, and so that's problematic. Like, the entire time, every single time he's like, I'm gonna kill some savages. It's just like, oh my god, you believe that? you believe that. Oddly enough, I didn't realize it at the time, but Christian Bale is in that movie.
Oh, interesting.
He plays my friend. But absolutely nothing happened. Like, they're like, the English settlers show up and they're like, oh, we're going to dig for gold. And then John Smith finds Pocahontas and he's just like, oh, yeah, like, we're going to come in. We're going to teach you some stuff. And she's like, yeah, but we don't need to be taught anything. And then they sing a song about it. And then he's like, OK, I guess you're right. I'm in love with this Native American girl. And then her dad's going to try and kill me. And then she's just going to throw herself on top of him. And that's what's going to solve all of our, you know, racist problems.
It's a Little Mermaid, basically.
Yeah, the Little Mermaid had more personality than this movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we have that to look forward to this week on your yes. Disney Princess series. We also have day two of our 30-day film challenge, which we will get to in a moment. But there was one, I mean, there's been very little news coming out of the movie industry. But it is starting to get back. I saw... that basically that whatever the sequel to Jurassic World is, some people were saying it was shut down after 3 days of filming because like all the crew members got positive for COVID. And then the studio came out and said, well, that's all bullshit. We're on day five and things are going very well for us. So stop spreading rumors. Who knows? More importantly, we're going to get to see the Waynes get killed again, this time on HBO Max.
God.
Eddie's Ring of Batman Hell returns. Apparently, HBO Max is going to let Matt Reeves, who is going to be creating The Batman, the film with Robert Pattinson, basically expand his version of the Batman universe through a series on HBO Max, which immediately the first thing I thought is, oh, great. We're going to get to see the Wayne parents shot again in that alley.
Here's the thing. If you're telling me that I'm not going to get it, but I'm going to get it in this like HBO Max offshoot, okay, fine, I'll take it. But it's like, holy garbage. Holy fucking garbage. Like, how have you, as DC Comics and Warner Brothers, how have you not figured this out yet? How? How have you not just decided that it's like, look, Marvel did it perfectly. They did it perfectly. But so now what you're telling me is that there's yet another version of Batman that's going to be floating around in your film universe, because it's like, well, we're going to let this guy and Robert Pattinson, that's going to be Batman for this universe. And then we'll see what we do with the Joker, like the Joaquin Phoenix Joker, and like that. And then now we're hearing rumors that Ben Batfleck is going to be back because you know, people seem to come around on, you know, and then it's
I heard he signed some contract with HBO Max. My guess is to do whatever type of reshoots or voiceover stuff is needed for the Snyder cut of Justice League. That's what I'm assuming that's for. But also, is it the Flash movie that we're getting Michael Keaton back?
Yeah. And then that's it. Yeah. So we're doing the Flash movie and we're doing Flashpoint. So now I'm
coming out of
sure
left field is fucking Michael Keaton.
Yeah. So my guess is in Flashpoint, the comic book version, the Flash basically the Flash's mom dies and he goes back in time to save her. And when he does that, it like screws up all of time. Right. It's a butterfly effect. Yeah, hot tub time machine. So basically what ends up happening is that instead of Martha and Thomas Wayne getting shot in the alley, Bruce gets shot in the alley.
Okay. The child?
And this becomes more, Thomas becomes more, yes. So Thomas Wayne, he's like a gun-toting psycho Batman, and Martha Wayne becomes the Joker in that. And so it's like, oh, that's pretty cool. So
okay. I didn't know anything about that, but I had seen people talking about casting What If, basically. And the one they were throwing around, I forget which incarnation of the Wayne parents they played, but it was Jeffrey Dean Morgan
Batflex.
Okay, so they're Ben Affleck's parents. What is her name? She's also in The Walking Dead. She's like the main woman.
Yeah,
I'm blanking on her name, but you know, the people listening exactly and watching are about. Screaming her name right now, so they know who I'm talking about. So I've seen people saying that, and they're like doing artist renderings of her in Joker makeup, and I'm like, I don't really get it, but I don't know the story enough to give a shit. So isn't it though, the Flash that they're using is the same actor from Justice League?
Correct.
Because there's like there's three Flash floating around as well. There was the ABC version or the whatever the TV version, WB. And then there was like a Netflix spinoff one. And then there was the movie one. And they were all kind of happening at the same time.
Yeah, the big difference between DC Comics and Marvel is that DC Comics really kind of leaned into the multiverse aspect of it, where they have multiple Earths with different, you know, versions of these heroes. And so instead of just, I don't know, giving us good movies, because that's a crazy concept, they decided to be like, no, you know what we're going to do? We're just going to like make different Batman stories, and they're all just going to be in the multiverse. And it's just like, I don't know if you know this, but for like 20 years, there has been this like television show that's been founders. It's called the Marvel Cinematic Universe. They release like one or two movies a year, and it's like the biggest thing of the year. And like they just had their season finale finally for, you know, season 5 or something, and everybody lost their mind. I don't know. I don't know if you've paid attention to any of this.
I don't know if you were part of the $2 billion it made, but you know, it was kind of a hit.
Yeah, and so it's like, yeah, no, but go ahead, just have 15 different Batman, just because you feel like telling Batman stories.
Basically, are you saying that DC and Warner Brothers have deliberately created this multiverse? Because I always felt it was more, for lack of a better term, that there was too many cooks in the kitchen and the soup just keeps getting fucked up, so they have to keep remaking the soup.
Yeah, no, it's definitely that, but it's kind of like when you know, somebody screws up and they're like, it's my art. And it's just like, no, you just spilled paint on a canvas.
All right,
like,
calm down, George Lucas.
You know what I mean? Like, Come on, man. Like, it does, you're just backing into this excuse because you have fucked everything up so bad.
It certainly seems that way. Which I would be fine. I would be completely fine. And I think I said this when we reviewed Joker. I'm fine with them just basically saying, you know, we're not going to do what Marvel does. Marvel has kind of mastered the expanded universe thing in movies. If DC was just like, we're just going to take and do one-off stories and do this story over here and do this story over here. And if they basically like, yeah, we don't give a shit about a linear storytelling with one actor playing one role. We don't need a Robert Downey Jr. as, you know what I mean? We don't need one Batman. Right. We're going to tell a bunch of different Batman stories. I'd be fucking cool with it. But it doesn't seem like that's what they're doing, because they keep trying to lean into this DCEU thing. And it's like, no, you've changed courses so many times within your own expanded universe. Like,
right.
We're rebooting and Suicide Squad, but not really. It's kind of a sequel.
Right. And the problem is that I would be okay with that too if you were just making Batman movies. The problem is that the plan is that Robert Pattinson is going to be Batman in several films.
Okay. And I'm fine with that too. I mean, it worked with Christian Bale, but it was also the model before Christian Bale was Batman was basically the tell different stories. We had Michael Keaton for two, and then we had Val Kilmer, and then we had Clooney and the nipples, and you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, but all of those films are linked. You know what I mean? Like, stylistically they're kind of the same. You know, so you look at those and there's the through line there, and it's kind of closer to like James Bond.
Right.
The problem is that you can't actively have a Batman with Ben Affleck and in a franchise going with Ben Batfleck, and then also have one with Robert Pattinson.
You can if you're like, that's what we're gonna do. If they came out with two completely different Batman type of movies, like one, you know, I don't know. Let's call it apples and oranges. One is the commercially appealing PG-13 superhero centric movie, and then the other one is a gritty fucking Dark Knight tale. You know, I'd be fine with that. I don't give a shit. Both are probably good movies, and then both are gonna fill the need in different places. But it feels like they're trying to, have their cake and eat it too. They're trying to do different stories while all keeping all connected. And I don't know.
Right.
I'm using a lot of analogies. The string isn't strong enough to hold these shoes together, man.
No, they're not. They're just not. And it's just pick a lane. Pick a lane and decide what to do.
Exactly. So moving on. Funny, we can segue very nicely into either one of our things, because the movie we're discussing is a comic book movie that is also a mess. And also our 30-day film festival. I'm going to start off because mine segues nicely because it has Michael Keaton in it.
Oh,
so day two of our 30-day film challenge is, what was it again? A movie you like
starts with the first letter of your first name.
Okay. So mine was Multiplicity. It stars Michael Keaton. There was four Michael Keatons and Andy McDowell.
Yes.
And it's one of those movies that I feel, it was like a mid-90s, very light, very PG-13 comedy that I feel went under the radar. I don't know what it made for money and all that stuff, but it's one of those ones that I can, anytime I even think about it, I can pop in the DVD, or if it's on cable, I can watch it. And it's one of those very easy rewatches for me, and I always laugh. It's a very easy, lighthearted story that just works. And I really haven't met anyone that dislikes it. I've met a lot of people that have never seen it, though.
Okay. Fair enough. Mine was Enter the Dragon, the Bruce Lee film. And I love that film. You know, if you've been watching this show long enough or listening to the podcast, you've definitely know that I like kung fu martial art movies. And Enter the Dragon is one of the best. That movie is so fun from top to bottom. I absolutely love it. Bruce Lee's fantastic. It's probably his best movie. I think I really like The Chinese Connection myself. Another movie of his.
It's definitely the most commercially appealing and widely known, I would say.
Yeah.
Also, I believe... What it is July. I believe at some point this month, Criterion is putting out like a 7 Bruce Lee movie box, basically all of his movies in one box set, which I read includes like a never before seen cut of Enter the Dragon or something like that. I don't know. I think there's like 3 different cuts of Enter the Dragon, and one of them is like exclusive to this box set. It's like never been seen before, which is always weird. It's like it's like a 40-year-old movie. How has nobody ever seen this cut? You just made this cut.
Yeah, you either just made this cut or it was just sitting there and nobody just watched it. It was
Kung Fu Treachery.
Yeah. Fiendish Dr. Wu.
Oh, Fiendish Dr. Wu and Kung Fu Island.
Yeah. That's where it comes from. This movie is about Kung Fu. It's about Kung Fu Island. They literally go to Kung Fu Island.
It really is.
Like, that's what it is. He fights a man with a tiger claw for some reason.
Oh my god.
He gets cut chest. He gets cut in his chest and just wipes the blood off and just licks it. And it's just like intimidating. So yeah.
Oh shit. All right, so I guess we're gonna segue into the movie that we are covering. Action Movie Quarantine is rolling on. This was your suggestion. Yeah. And wow, after I haven't seen this one probably since 1996. And man, is it a mess. Judge Dredd.
When there is crime in society, there is no justice. As a city, we continue to grow.
73 citizen riots.
Come and get us! Throw on your weapons and prepare to be judged! Judge this!
Court's adjourned.
Draven!
You're a legend. You were my finest student.
Get Dredd!
Dredd! You're under arrest.
What's the charge?
Murder.
The evidence has been falsified!
Guilty as charged.
I am the law! I am the law!
Chaos.
The sentence shall be life imprisonment.
I'm the chaos. Dredd?
Let me crush him, Paul!
Excuse me? We're not together.
It's not for this council to play God!
Who says politics is boring?
Couple of things. One, missed opportunity. We should have done Independence Day. We were doing Action Movie Quarantine and we did do Independence Day. I love that movie. That's my like favorite. Like, everybody for some odd reason likes to watch 24 Hours of a Christmas Story or Elf. No, I like 24 Hours of Independence Day on Independence Day. It's my favorite.
Look, with the exception of the hour and change that we do this show, my brain is pretty much mush the rest of the week.
Oh yeah, 100%.
I mean, fucking quarantine has just turned me into jelly. But yeah, Judge fucking Dredd, man. Let me do the business real
this
quick.
This fucking movie. Yes.
It was released June 30th, 1995. It had a budget of $90 million. I'll get to what most of that went to. It came back with $113.5 million at the box office. Did not set the world on fire. It was written by William Wisher Jr. and our old friend Stephen E. D'Souza.
Oh,
do you remember what Stephen E. D'Souza is known for on this show?
I don't remember.
Well, he wrote Commando, and he wrote Hudson Hawk, and he was one of the writers credited in Die Hard. So he's Bruce Willis's friend there that we had a lot of fun with when we did Hudson Hawk and Die Hard and Commando. But yeah, he also did the screenplay for this pile of hot shit. It was directed by Danny Cannon, who, reading about it, kind of got the shaft on the whole experience. Obviously, it's based on the comic book created by John Wagner, Judge Dredd, and it stars Sylvester Stallone, Amanda Sante, Diane Lane, Rob Schneider.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking Rob Schneider. Joan Chen, Jorgen, I can never pronounce this guy's name, but you know who he is. He's that,
yeah.
You know.
Yes,
I can. I butcher his fucking name. And Max von Sydow, the great Max von Sydow. I'm just gonna run down some of the other credits, just because the credits of this movie were like, I'm reading it going, really, really. And then when I saw the $90 million budget, I'm like, oh, that all makes complete sense. Alan Silvestri did the music. The Judge Dredd armor costumes got a special credit, not just costumes by, but the it was. It was costumes by, and then below it, it said Judge Dredd armor costumes by Gianni Versace. And once I'm watching, going, really?
Ooh.
And then all of a sudden, those Dredd armor costumes pop up, and I'm like, oh, yeah, this is completely Versace. Look at these people. They're in spandex and dripping in gold.
Yeah. It's definitely Versace.
None of this is tactical wear.
No. It's definitely Versace.
So, yeah, this came, like I said, in 1995. Stallone was on an interesting run at the time. Let me run down his 90s. Let me see here. Where is he? Here. Yeah, so we had, let's see. In 93, we had Cliffhanger. We had Demolition Man in the archives, which also is amazingly amazingly accurate depiction of today's world, including there's going to be, like, apparently Taco Bell is like expanding into like fucking Mexican cantinas now in Somerville or something like that. It's very weird. Then he did The Specialist. Let's see. And then he came out with Judge Dredd. He had Assassin. He had Daylight. And then Copland in 97. So his 90s. And if you look at the characters he plays in those particular movies, they're all kind of the same guy. And if you read the behind the scenes stories and interviews with people involved in all those movies, they all kind of have the same story. It's very similar to we've talked about Bruce Willis in the past and how he's changed characters and stuff like that. In particular, the Armageddon thing. It's basically like a filmmaker, a writer and director come on. They have this movie. They have this idea. And then they bring in the biggest star in the world. And in this case, it's Sylvester Stallone. And it happened in Demolition Man. And it happened in Cliffhanger. It happened in, you know, all of these movies.
Right.
Where he comes in and it's like the movie had a certain tone to it. And most of the time, especially because this is a comic book movie, it comes from, you know, pre-existing material. And I found out through research that Danny Cannon, the director, is a massive Judge Dredd nerd, like to the point that this was like his passion project. He literally said while getting ready to make this movie, this is going to be the Ben-Hur of comic book movies. He wanted it to be grand. He wanted it to be authentic. He wanted it to be dark and gritty, apparently just like the comic book.
Right.
And he turned down the opportunity to direct Die Hard with a Vengeance in order to make this.
Okay.
Then Stallone comes in.
Yeah.
And Stallone wants it to be commercially appealing and more jokes and more funny, and I need to be the hero. Something, again, I knew nothing about the comic book. I literally did all my Judge Dredd research right before we logged on here.
Yeah. And yeah, I don't know a whole lot about it.
Uh-huh.
There's one thing I do know about Judge Dredd. I know that he's very dark. The comic book is very dark, and it's, you know, an indie comic, so it's going to be a lot more violent than its Marvel or DC counterparts. But the big thing that I know about this, and they try to do it in the movie, but you don't, if you don't know, you don't realize why this they're giving a lot of emphasis to this particular moment. Yeah. But Judge Dredd doesn't take his helmet off ever.
Yeah, he's basically a Mandalorian like that.
Right. It's just like that. And so they do it well in the new version of Dredd, where he never takes his helmet off. Right. It's just that. And so, yeah, that's a huge change in that comic book where Sylvester Stallone needs to not a helmet.
Yeah, you cast really Sylvester Stallone, not half of them.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, and that was something I read about as well. And I'm like, oh, okay, so that's kind of cool. That's kind of different. And like, even digging a little deeper, like there's like a few times in the comic, and very few, I'm talking like less than a handful of times in the comic that Judge Dredd's helmet comes off. And in most of them, his quote unquote severely disfigured face is covered by a sensor bar. So right. even when they took his helmet off in the comics, they still tried to obscure his face. Now, none of that is prevalent in this movie.
No.
Stallone is very handsome in this movie. He's very Stallone in this movie. And nobody seems to give a shit about helmets in this movie. It's like they are thrown away real friggin' early. But yeah, it sounds, again, just like one of those situations where there was a genuine passion from the creators to make this movie a really authentic something that the Judge Dredd fans would probably go out and still look back all these years later and be like, yeah, that was our fucking movie. You know,
yeah,
Marvel has all their shit and they got their cinematic universe, but that was our thing, man. And it's just not.
Well,
it's a joke.
Well, they even tried to do it what Marvel would eventually do, where it's like, look, here's the thing. There's a group of people that like this movie or like this source material. I'm going to make a movie for those people. Those are the people that I'm going to make the movie for. You know, we saw it again with Deadpool, right?
Yep.
The Deadpool, like, we're going to make a movie for the people that like Deadpool. I do not care about the general audience because if I make a movie for everybody, I'll make a movie for nobody. As opposed to if I make a Judge Dredd movie for the Judge Dredd fans, they're going to appreciate it. And that's ultimately what I need to make. But instead we get, this generic future cop movie that's a mix between cop and Demolition Man.
That's
what we got.
And that's one of the funny things because the movie was in basically development since the early 80s. And Danny Cannon was one of the people. He was like, he was championing even way back in the 80s. He wanted to make this movie. Like it was his thing. It was his passion project. And RoboCop, when that came out, stole basically so much from Judge Dredd that the studios were just like, all right, well, we're definitely shelving this for a while. Because that was one thing even before, because I did my research after watching the movie. I'm watching it going, holy shit, this is very RoboCop. And I don't know which came first, the horse or you know what I mean? But it's like, this is very RoboCop. And even like, you know, the helmet coming, the whole reveal, like the... Everything was RoboCop.
Everything. Oh, yeah. This movie is RoboCop. Judge Dredd and RoboCop are basically the same thing.
And they did RoboCop better. Let's be honest. I mean, again, RoboCop is in the archives, but it's a better movie, plain and simple.
Yes.
It also wasn't plagued by having a megastar like Sylvester Stallone want it to be just another, you know, paycheck on his summer movie. You know, it's one of those things. He wanted to make a blockbuster. He didn't give a shit about, like, he said in interviews, he didn't know anything about Judge Dredd before signing on to the movie. And he honestly didn't do a shitload of research. And even to the point that the director, Danny Cannon, when they got through filming and Stallone felt that the movie needed to be funnier, they needed to punch it up and bring more funny material, Danny Cannon was banned from the set. He wasn't allowed to shoot the reshoots.
Yeah.
So it was basically like, nope, we need to be more jokey and more funny. That has nothing to do with casting Rob Schneider. He was offered the role because Joe Pesci turned it down. And he was the next hot thing on SNL at the time. Okay. So it was like they wanted to get Pesci. He said no. And it was basically like, all right, well, give me a list of funny people. Here's the SNL cast we have right now. All right, let's take that guy. He looks funny. And yeah. Also, something else I noticed while watching this, and it was more, it was when Dredd gets arrested and he's walking with other inmates, and I'm watching it, and I'm like, in my head, and I ended up Googling this to make sure, I'm like, Stallone isn't that tall of a guy, but he's towering over everybody. So my guess, and you hear stuff like, oh, he wanted Pesci. He hired Rob Snyder. It's like, okay, he's going for short guys.
Yeah, so, he's, yes.
If you're short and funny, you can be a comic relief in a Stallone movie because he's 5'10".
Yeah.
He's right. Not even 6 feet tall. Yet in this movie, he looks like Schwarzenegger.
Right. And Schwarzenegger's not that tall.
I think he's got to be over 6 feet tall, right?
I want to say he's surprisingly short, too. Not like Tom Cruise. Not like Tom Cruise short, but I want to say he's not super tall.
He's 6'2".
I'm pulling it up right now. Oh, yeah, he is? Yeah.
Arnold's 6'2". I mean, again, 6'2 isn't as big as they make him seem. I mean, you know, but it's like, all right, he's 6'2". You know, you got someone like The Rock. The Rock is 6'5". But it's like Stallone is 5'10", yet anytime you see Stallone and Schwarzenegger in a movie together, they're supposed to be portrayed, like in The Expendables, they're supposed to be portrayed as pretty much even Steven type of guys, where it's like, no, he's actually way taller than him.
Oh, yeah. Right. God. But so, it's so funny. Egos. Yeah,
egos,
this movie's
man.
This movie's hot garbage, you know?
Yeah, it's like, well, here's what... Because I'm watching it, and... We've done a lot of hot garbage on this show.
Yeah.
And I think the ultimate fuck this movie is obviously Battlefield Earth.
Yes.
And deliberately so we did that movie because we were looking for the worst movie ever to review on our 1 year anniversary. So I'm always kind of comparing these bad movies to that. But I'm like, I'm watching this and I'm like, it does nothing. It's an hour and 37 minutes of nothing. Like, I don't understand any of the story. They tried to cram way too... It's like, they tried to do much, but they also did... They tried to do too much, but they also didn't do nearly enough. You know what I mean? It's like Sorry, go ahead.
This is the type of movie where it's like, oh, you introduced a lot of really cool ideas. And I'm like, into a lot of these ideas, we just never... follow any of them, and it's just like we just get a generic like, oh, I'm gonna make a clone and you're gonna, you know, we're gonna set up the bad, like, it's just stupid because it's like I love that it's like we live in a world where the police are now judge, jury, and execute. Like, I like that. Let's see what that world looks like. And then there's the whole idea where it's like, oh, once you retire as a judge, you basically have to, like, go out into the untamed, lawless world and, like, teach law to people.
Like, I didn't understand that at all. Like, that looked like punishment, not retirement. Like, he retired, and it looks like what they did to Mel Gibson in Beyond Thunderdome. It's like they put him on the back of a horse and sent him out into the wasteland. Like, what the fuck was that? It's like the dude just retired. Give him a gold watch and a couch, not a fucking shotgun in the desert.
Yeah, you basically have to go out to... You basically have to do missionary work because it's like a religion. And it's like, oh, okay, that would be interesting. It would be interesting to see what that looks like. What does the wasteland area look like? And then it's like, oh, we're going to... Like, okay, cool. Let's see what the futuristic Judge Dredd prison looks like. And it's like, oh, we never even... You know, it's just like... And one thing after another, where it's like you made a TV show. Like, this is partly where somebody... that really likes something and tries to cram this much stuff into this much of a movie.
Right.
Because it's like, oh, you basically wanted to make a TV show. That's what you wanted to do.
Well, it's also clear, based on, again, doing the research and knowing how much the director really wanted to make this something special versus then being overpowered by Stallone and his star power and him just taking over the production. It's clear that the original intent was to make this like a 3-hour movie. That was clear. And it was an hour 37. Like I woke up this morning and I'm like, all right, I got a bunch of stuff I got to do today. When am I going to fit this in? And I look, I'm like, hour 37. Shit, I'm having this with breakfast. That's easy. I can do that standing on my head. I thought it was going to be like a 2 hour, 2.5 hour. But you can tell by all of the, it's like a movie of setups without any payoffs.
Yeah.
Like even to the fact that when I was, you know, Googling and looking stuff up, apparently, like you mentioned the clones, and we really don't see much of them until the end when Armando Sante puts his DNA into the thing and starts building clones and hatches the clones. There was 70 stuntmen in full body prosthetics. I'm like, and I'm reading this going, I saw two.
Right.
Like those poor, and having just done a bunch of prosthetic work, those poor bastards, there was 70 of them that were useless.
Right.
Useless. I never saw them. I saw two, maybe one. I don't even know. Like they came, I saw one guy come out of the egg thing and then immediately die.
Yeah, it was weird. It was stupid. It was dumb. The whole thing. Terrible. The whole thing is stupid. You know, the idea, the whole, I always hate half, like this was like a 90s plot. Mm-hmm. And it's like where we're going to have somebody that is like the evil twin of the hero, and they're going to perpetrate a crime so that our hero is discredited. And then it's really this other guy that's the mastermind behind it, because he wanted to like use power, but then he couldn't control the evil twin. So the evil twin is really the bad guy. And it's just like, ugh. God, that's such a convoluted, stupid, dumb plot.
Well, it's also, I mean, when you break it down, again, I don't know. I'm assuming it has some basis in the comic book. But the whole, it's basically the plot of twins, Schwarzenegger and DeVito. You basically have two genetically created humans, and one is the good gene and one is the bad gene. And that's what happens. One's the good twin, one's the bad twin. One is a specimen of health and bulk and muscles and all this stuff. And the other one's Danny DeVito.
Yeah, right.
In this case, one is law and order by the book, and the other one is the most ruthless criminal in the world.
Yeah.
Like I'm watching this going like, oh, you guys are wasting Armando Sante. He is a wonderful actor.
Yeah. That the whole just thing
never worked enough. Yeah, he's still alive. Is he still alive?
I don't know. But it's like this. Yeah, he's still alive. You know,
I really like him as an actor.
The way they treat law as like a religion in this movie, mm-hmm. like you're like trying to put in social commentary that like, you know, oh, you know, yeah, like make mistakes. Well, if a law didn't make mistakes, how are you here? And it's just like, you know, Judge Dredd doesn't grow as a person. He doesn't grow as a character. He's just one note the entire time. And it's like, well, that's boring. That's stupid. Right. You know?
It's a movie that it has a shitload of potential moments. It's
right.
Like, oh, well, that's interesting. That's an interesting concept, but you do nothing to expand on it. You know,
right.
Oh, you guys created these two supposed to be super cops, but one turns into a super villain. Okay, it's an age old story. We've heard it a million times.
Right.
But okay, let's expand. Yeah. You kind of Truman showed up their backstory with fake parents and all that stuff. Okay, that's interesting. No, we're not going to expand that. Oh, CGI. Okay, moving on. You know, and it's like, I don't know. Have you seen the remake of it? The one they released, what was it, 2012?
Yeah, you mean Raid Redemption Dredd? Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I've never watched it. I was going to. So you have seen it.
Yes, and it's good. It's really good. But again, so the thing that this movie, that movie does, that this one doesn't, is it takes
a hell of a lot less money.
Yeah, well,
it was 30 million versus 90 million.
Jeez. Yeah, so Dredd is a snapshot in Judge Dredd's life, whereas this one tries to cram in like a million stories instead of just telling one. Because again, there's so many things that you could have done that it was just like, look, you know, does Judge Dredd go out into the wasteland to try and find his like cop mentor, right? What is that story and what does that look like? It's wrongfully accused and sent to prison. What does that story look like? Oh, he has to fight his evil twin from taking over the world. You know, what does that story look like? And this one is very much just like, you know, we're going to do all of those.
Yeah. And it's like the good guy, bad guy thing. It was like so many flashes of Demolition Man. It's just Demolition Man did it better. It was also probably because it came out around the same time. It was Stallone. And it's like, okay, well, here's Super Cop and Super Bad Guy. Go.
Right.
Use laser guns. Go.
Yeah.
The robot was pretty cool in this movie. I did like that.
Pretty cool. Another little fun fact about it was originally the producers wanted to use just a guy in a suit. And the director kind of, that was one of his put my foot down moments. And he actually had them build a hydraulic moving physical thing. Like created a puppet. Yeah. A hydraulic puppet. Instead of having like just a guy in a suit being there, you know? So, I mean, there's a lot of potential moments in this movie.
Right.
It just missed so many marks.
Yeah.
I dare say it missed all the marks, except, I mean, the supporting cast, you know, Rob Snyder aside, was an amazing, like, I'm watching the credits again and again. I haven't seen this probably since I worked in a video store, so it must have been like 97 was when I watched this. Right. And never bothered, for obvious reasons, never went back to watch it again. But watching the credits, I'm like, really, they're in this? Oh, Diane Lang's in this. Oh, Armand Asante, shit, man, all right. Max von Sydow, god damn, you know?
Yeah, so
it's like they had potential in their hands, and then Stallone showed up.
Right.
You know what? Yeah. I need more jokes in this.
Yeah, and I don't even remember many jokes.
No, it wasn't funny. That was the funniest part about, like so many people in interviews said, oh yeah, we had to go back and do reshoots because Stallone wanted more jokes and wanted to be funnier, wanted to be more commercially appealing. And I'm like, I just watched this 20 minutes ago. It wasn't funny.
There wasn't any fun.
I mean, that's what happens when you pull in our good buddy Steven E. D'Souza to punch up your script. You get Hudson Hawk.
Yeah, right. Right. Yikes.
Oh man.
That movie's terrible. So yeah, I think
I mean, how do we even attack this thing? There's little bits and pieces like I don't know. I feel watching this without having any knowledge of the comic book, I feel it has enough potential moments that it could be like a streaming series.
Right.
You know, like I would love to see more about that cannibal group.
Like, I want to see more about the world. I think that the world is very interesting.
The guy who had the dial on his forehead and the sword for an arm. I'm like, I need to know a hell of a lot more about that guy before you just kill him off. Like, what does this do?
Why does it rev him up? Yeah, why does it rev him up?
And you know, yeah, the sending Max von Sydow out into the wasteland with a shotgun. I mean, apparently he didn't last all that long because, like, what he meets up with Stallone and the cannibals a day later and immediately is dead. He just it's like shitty retirement, pal. You're dead.
Yeah, it's like 30. It's like 30 hours at most. That timing.
Like they haven't even gotten to the Aspen prison because him and Rob Schneider were on the plane or train or whatever crashed on their way to prison. So he was literally going from, because they said immediately. So he went from that courtroom scene, which, again, I would like a little bit more of that type of stuff. Because it's like, yeah, Balthazar Getty in there as this, like, super hacker who figured out the digital technology and all that stuff. And I'm like, well, this is the first we're seeing this guy.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Like, we could have a whole episode, a whole hour-long episode on Netflix of just the courtroom shit.
Yeah, well, the other part too of that that I found to be annoying is you had a video camera in that guy's apartment,
Right.
And it's like, so you have video surveillance everywhere, right? I'm assuming.
Sure.
So why isn't there any video surveillance of where Stallone was at the time of the murder? You know what I mean? Like
that would make too much fucking sense, man.
Yeah, like
you know damn well, especially because he is the law, that he's got a security camera in his bedroom. He was probably sleeping. Yeah. All he had to do would be like, yo, man, call up my Skype. I was asleep right there. That's me with my helmet off in bed. So I couldn't be that guy.
Yeah.
Don't give a shit what your DNA bullets.
How did I commit this murder when I was on the other side of town?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know.
And it's not like he wears masks. He takes his mask off all the time. It's the worst Mandalorian ever.
He is the worst Mandalorian ever. Also, if his brother was like a crazy criminal, right, that was in prison,
right,
how did nobody know that he had escaped?
I mean, that was they yada yadded it, but they definitely covered up a lot of that. So let's see. Let me rehash. So the warden. All right. Let's see.
Yeah, the warden shows up and is like, "Hey, we have a mysterious benefactor, and he has like a thing for you, and it's the like box that turns into a gun.
Very cool.
And very cool. But then he murders the guy.
He murders him, and he murders the two guards. Okay, so. When the warden, because the warden was obviously semi in on it, he turned off the cameras. But that's why when he turned off the beam or the whatever was encasing him, and he turned off the cameras because he was up to nefarious shit, and all that was working was the guns. But because they are voice activated and he shot him in the throat, the guns just went haywire, and it looked like the guns killed him. And then Armando Sante killed the guards who came running in. And then we just kind of fast forward to he's at a pawn shop.
Yeah, he was in a body bag. At some point, he was in a body bag.
It's one of those things like they say it when the plane or the train or whatever's taken Stallone and Rob Schneider to prison. When that crashes, Jürgen, whatever the fuck, he's like no witnesses. So apparently they're cleaning up their tracks with murder. You know, he murders the pawn guy, you know, the pawn shop owner. He gets murdered. So they just keep murdering people just to keep covering their tracks. And it's kind of, you know, it's escape from New Yorkish. It's like there's no real laws here. I'm sure if someone really started digging through the digital video banks, you'll find like, you know, street cam footage of Armando Sante running around killing people. But again, Jürgen over here is like the head guy. So he's the one running shit. So he's covering his tracks up, and then he dispatches Max von Sydow so that he can cover his tracks even more up, and then he can implement the plan. So now world domination. I guess.
And the whole thing's nonsensical.
It is. And then, you know, Dredd goes back. And it, like you said, Stallone doesn't learn anything. Like even in the end, it's like, he just goes back to being a regular beat cop. I'm a street judge or whatever the fuck he says.
Yeah.
He doesn't even like embrace Diane Lane, who's been like protecting him and saving his ass the entire movie. She's like, she's all about it. And you know, that's the love story. And she's just like, she gives him a kiss and he's like, rev up my motorcycle.
Yeah. Because it's like his whole, like he should have learned something about being a better judge and like being more human, you know, because like the whole thing is he finds out that he's not human, basically, right? That he's like DNA, like, you know, he's genetically engineered. So it's just like, oh, well, I need to be more human to be a better judge, and the system's broken, and now I can be in charge of the system. You know what I mean? Like, that's the type of story that we needed.
Again, I feel that we could have...
And it's like, you're right. It's just like, no.
Yeah, I think we could have really done... They could have done a hell of a lot better job. Again, it was a different time. It was the mid-90s. If streaming services were just offering millions and millions of dollars to make series, I think Judge Dredd would have been picked up immediately back then. But it's been now this movie, and according to you, the reboot wasn't anything special either. And according to
it was good, but
nothing crazy. I mean, I think it didn't make any money either. It would cost a hell of a lot less, but you also didn't have Versace making your costumes. Yeah, I mean, it only made $41.5 million at the box office. Didn't do a hell of a lot on home video either. So it's like it's one of those properties that unfortunately has a shitload of potential. It's just become one of those plagued properties that's like, it's kind of a loser. Let's make another Flash TV show, you know?
Yeah, right. That's 100% what it is, where it's like there's other properties that we can try because there are a ton of things. You know, you look at like The Walking Dead, right? You know, that's another one of those indie kind of comic books series that people, you know, got a series and people love. Right. So I think it had potential because, you know, if you're going to make a sequel or you're going to make something that's going to be ongoing, you have to have an interesting world. And I think that the Judge Dredd world is interesting enough that it could keep us interested, even if character isn't necessarily very interesting.
I agree. I absolutely agree. Yeah, it's like I said, it just missed every mark. Plain and simple.
Yeah.
It just missed every mark.
Well, this is a product of its time.
It very, very much so. And it was a, I think summer. When did I say it was released? June. It was right at the beginning of summer. So it was a summer blockbuster Stallone action movie in the mid-90s. He was turning them out one after another. My guess is he was on his second or third divorce, so he had some bills to pay. You know, it is what it, because the way he was making movies back then, that's when I was watching it, I'm like, I wonder when him and Brigitte Nielsen got divorced, because this is like just looking like he had Tango and Cash. He had, you know, all these like very simple action movies where he plays basically the same character. It's almost like wash, rinse, repeat, pay the divorce off. You know, that's how it felt, you know.
Right.
And he was a big enough star that, yeah, you can command $100 million at the box office on a movie that took you only a few months to make, and then you're on to the next one. And if your character isn't changing much, who gives a shit, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like you could tell he would show up to set and be like, let's not muddy it up with details. Let's just let me do my Stallone thing. You know, it'd be like Schwarzenegger showing up going, all right, when am I going to say I'll be back? I'll be back? Cool. I'm moving on to the next movie. You know?
Yeah. It's like, right.
Wash, rinse, repeat is what it felt like. And it's unfortunate because there are some that movies like this where when you really dig deeper or you look deeper into it, you're like, this could have been something.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that Judge Dredd could have been the best comic book movie ever, but it could have been something like, you know what? That's a very underrated comic book movie, but now it's very accurately rated. It's shit.
Yeah, it's garbage. And that's Judge Dredd.
That is Judge Dredd. All right, Eddie. So next week, I'm gonna read this cast list off to you, and I want your honest first opinion of this cast. All right, right off the bat, Ice-T.
Oh,
Bokeem Woodbine, Thomas Hayden Church, John Lovitz, Howie Long, David Arquette, Kevin Pollak, Christian Slater, Courtney Cox, Kevin Costner, Kurt Russell. Yep, we're doing 3,000 miles to motherfucking Graceland.
Jeez, this is gonna be bananas.
All right, so yes, it's one of my heavy guilty pleasure movies for a number of reasons. And you know what? I'm not gonna go through what I just did all over again. We've been having some Wi-Fi issues. It is what it is. Have you seen this movie?
No, I have not.
Oh, I cannot wait, because this is going to be one of your, this fucking movie. I hate Mike for suggesting this, but it's going to be so much fun. So next week, 3,000 miles to Graceland as action movie quarantine rolls on. You can follow myself and Eddie on social media at Mike Wendt, at The Eddie McCabe, hashtag That Movie Show. The website is thatmovieshow.net. The Facebook page is facebook.com/thatmovieshowtv. You can find on the website, on the Facebook page, and audio feeds on both, I believe. If not, we'll get them up there for Eddie's Disney Princess series, which the latest one is Pocahontas, which is problematic at best.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Problematic at best. Not saying.
And by all means, suggest movies for us to review, because even though our plan is to kind of wrap up the action movie quarantine at the end of July, we're going to bounce right into Arnold August, which kind of cheats our way through another month of action movies. But September, I think we're just going to start getting back to regular movie reviews. So please recommend movies for us to review, and we will definitely get them on. It's how we got a number of movies so far in the archives.
Yes.
So until next week, Eddie, any final thoughts?
No, let's get on out of here.
All right, see you next week.
Bye, everybody.
That's Hooey Valley, Hooey Hollywood, where any office boy or young mechanic can be a panic.
A different future starts with you. That's why GoDaddy does more than help you find a name. You can create, sell, and get found online, so any small business can drive change or build an empire. We need a new generation of thinking, your way of thinking. Start different at GoDaddy.com. A different future starts with you. That's why GoDaddy does more than help you find a name. You can create, sell, and get found online, so any small business can drive change or build an empire. Because old ideas aren't cutting it anymore. This new year, we need a new generation of thinking, your way of thinking. So whatever you have in mind that will help make a different future, find everything you need to get started at GoDaddy.com. Because the future isn't decided yet. It's still ours to win. Start different at GoDaddy.com.